everybody thaw out? We're thawing out. All right. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. We'll kind of hopefully finish this out today and see what the Apostle Paul has for us. Verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory of all of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Ardias, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for the safety and travel for all those. Pray for those that are still traveling. Lord, I ask that you would just go before us today, that you would prepare the lessons, or our hearts for the lessons that will be presented. And Father, I thank you that we know the truth through your word. We thank you that you provided each one of these epistles and books of the Bible for us to learn and walk on this earth, that we would know what we should do to live a victorious life. We're thankful for the examples the Apostle Paul provided for us. And Father, sometimes it does require us to maybe step out of our bounds and maybe have to boast a bit just to prove a point, but to do it in the guise of what the Holy Spirit would have us do. And Father, we thank you now for all of this, and we do ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as we left off last week, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, and he was showing the Judaizers to be fools and basically laid his resume out of, okay, you guys talk about this. Well, let me tell you what happened to me, and doing it in writing. Of course, they've accused him earlier of, well, when you're away in your writings, you're real strong, but when you're around us, you're pretty weak. But he was trying to lay out that he was doing this, and what he suffered for the Lord's sake. And he did it so that to make sure that the gospel would be furthered. So following with that, we've got our little charts up here, and of course we talked about what the false teachers proclaimed, and of course they showed themselves as self-serving. But the Apostle Paul, let's see here. See if this is going to show here. Oh, maybe it won't show them. All right. Well, in the one, let's see here. Paul's pedigree, Paul's trials. There we go. There we go. We show the bits that they were showing. I had a couple extra slides in there. I'm sorry. So, looking at this list here, what trials did the Apostle Paul endure as an apostle? And we read them last week from verse 23 until to verse 28. And so what type of trials did the Apostle Paul endure? Of course, we see them all up here. He had lashings, their imprisonment. He was in life-threatening situations, stonings, beatings, shipwrecks, adrift at sea, frequent travel, risks of drowning, risks of being robbed. Can you imagine living in a life where, well, maybe even today, depending on where you go in the United States or around the world, you might be in risk of most of these, risks of being assaulted or killed by the Jews or the Gentiles, at risk in desolate places, on the high seas, risk among false brethren, weariness, pain, sleepiness, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, food deprivation. He was cold and nakedness, and most of all, the care of the churches. And so when we think of that, you know, which of those trials do you think was probably the hardest for the Apostle Paul to endure? Any thought? Any one of them probably tough. Lynn? That really, when you think about that, that's true. That is probably the hardest one to endure. The others, you know, yeah, they're each and every one of them, but probably the most deeply pained one is to find out that a brother has turned on you, or one that has professed to be a brother and then turns out to be false. So, anybody else have a thought with that? You know, that might be the toughest one, is betrayal. So if Paul's job were open, would you apply for it? You have to think long and hard. Well, think of our missionaries. Yes. Well, think of our missionaries. They're essentially applying for a job similar to Paul. We think of those around the world. There's places where we have missionaries that we won't advertise where they're at for safety reasons. You know, now are we shirking? Well, no, we know who those missionaries are, but to publicize them, say on our website, or the letters from them, may put them in danger, and it's very important. And some people, you know, realize that living a life like the Apostle Paul is not meant for everybody, but there are some out there that do. There are some that go out boldly and say, "Well, Lord, please take care of me," and they do that. Of course, there's others who go out there and goes, "Yeah, I'm so tough. I'll go out there and I can do that job," and they may not last very long, they because they probably went out in arrogance. But the Apostle Paul, from the time of his conversion, he was dogged in his steps. It's very, people are very, have a very short memory when it comes to something. The Jews, even though he was professing Christ and teaching and winning many to the Lord, they looked on him, you know, in disdain. Because, well, you know, he's a Jew. He should be teaching those Jewish traditions. Yeah, he's saved, and we know that Jesus Christ is a Savior, but we've got to maintain these. And, of course, he told them no. You know, the law is fulfilled. So they tried to attempt to kill him at various points. You know, verse 32 talks about how the governor there and many others tried to kill him, is what it says. Acts 9, 23 and 24, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known to Saul, and they watched the gates and day and night to kill him. So people were setting about to get rid of him. They said, well, you know, this, we don't want that kind of teaching. And it's sad today. We have folks today that feel this very same way about teaching the Bible. You know, it's teach it our way or no way, and all through history. Disciples, you know, made sure that he was being taken care of as best they could. Some of them even intervened when he was outside the theater, and they made sure that, no, the Apostle Paul, we're going to make sure he's safe and take care of him. But false apostles wanted an easy, rich, rewarding life. So their ideas were such that they would make sure that whatever Paul was teaching, we're going to make sure that it's our teaching that's stronger than his. And, of course, what do? They berated people. And, you know, I mean, the other apostles were in just as much danger when they were teaching and preaching the gospel. But he was willing to endure the harsh trials for the sake of the gospel. You know, and so, you know, it falls back to us. How much are we willing to go through in persecution? It may be a time when we'll face persecution for our beliefs. We're seeing it little by little nowadays. People get up and the evil is promoted over good. We're seeing that in many states, laws enacting. So why does enduring hardships for Christ strengthen a person's testimony? Any thought with that? Lynn?
He is our strength.
He is our strength.
And when we feel he is working for us, then we can just continue.
Right. Right? When you know, we let him work through us, gives us the strength. Strength that we wouldn't be able to do normally. Some of us are very introverted when it comes to sharing the gospel with somebody. But yet when we let the Holy Spirit work with us, he brings it through us. He allows us to be able to teach as we should, knowing that that's what we're supposed to do and how to present it. Of course, there might be times when the Holy Spirit says, no, you don't want to present it now. And sometimes we honor it. Sometimes we might not. But God will always get the glory with that. You know, any other have a thought with that as to, you know, why hardship sometimes strengthens a person's testimony? Brother Austin?
It's an outward thing that other people can see that we're going through something hard and see that our faith is not based on an easy life.
Right. An outward showing of what's going on there. You think of sicknesses, ailments. Shortly we're going to be talking about Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, and it's always... that'll probably be the question that comes out. Anybody got an idea what it might really be? And there's so many speculations out there of what it possibly could be. But each one of us, we have a weakness that Satan can go out and he can push that button. He knows right when to do it and when the opportune time is, when it's going to create the most damage. But if we're prayed up, we'll be able to walk through it. Oftentimes it's like, okay, Satan, try your best. If we know we're tried up, of course, if we say our best and we're not, guess what? We're going to probably stumble a bit. And that's when we really go to prayer and when we really think about that. But it authenticates what we're going through. And oftentimes going through some of those hardships, he wants us to be just that much better. It's like polishing something. You know, I've got work with a lot of machinists and people, and well, they can polish things up nicely. I've got and depending on the type of finish you want, working with Nick when he was doing concrete, you know, we did my garage floor. You could see your face in the concrete when he went to 400. He goes, well, we can go to 12,000 if you'd like. And I was like, well, no, I don't think so. I think this is just good. And it's nice, but that's what God is doing with believers when persecution comes along. It's that little bit of polishing that he's doing with us and just helps us be that much better. And if you're polished just enough, guess what? Things don't stick as easily. My garage floor before, you know, I tried to blow the dust and stuff off from there. Man, it took a lot of movement. Now it's whoosh, and it's gone. You know, fill those voids up. That's why they say, a clean car goes through life a whole lot easier, you know, goes through with less resistance. Just because it's less resistance against it. You know, one of those physics things you talk about. So it's Paul was self-sacrificing in his approach. And then, of course, today, you know, let me just ask the question before I throw one of the answers up there. What can believers do today to ensure a good testimony? Well, one of them, guard our lips. Lynn?
Live peculiar.
Yeah, live peculiar. When a person loves the Lord and is doing right, we are peculiar to the world. How can you do that? Why do you give so much money to the church? They're just getting rich off from you. Well, no, not if they sat down and thought about what that is doing in the world. Yeah, some churches, yeah, people get rich on it. Yeah, I'm thankful that our missionaries are being taken care of, our pastor taken care of, the needs of this church are taken care of. If somebody's in need here, oftentimes we can help. And it's because it's giving hearts that are doing it, but living peculiar. What other things might somebody come up with? Be that shows to help endure, make sure they have a good testimony. That my tongue's not working. Not enough coffee this morning. Any other things to think of? Let me throw a few up here for you then. You know, live with convictions. That's peculiar to some. Stand for the truth. That is a very good one. And, you know, and I'm thankful for the teachings that we have here because they are truthful. They're coming from the Word of God, and people stand behind it. Be honest in all things. That's one thing about Christians, that honesty is there. And some people are delayed in their honesty. But when you talk with a Christian that loves the Lord and wants to live right, you're going to find that he's honest. If he makes a mistake, he'll admit to the mistake. It's difficult as a human being to admit to something. My wife will tell you that. We were laughing about the other day. She broke a board that I have underneath one of the cushions. I said, no, I probably just separated. Nope, sure enough, it broke. Goes, oh, I knew it broke because I felt it breaking. You know, but we were laughing about that, you know, that type of thing. But a Christian that loves the Lord, he'll want to be as honest as possible. Show grace. That's probably a real difficult one, especially when somebody's berating you. Saying things against the Lord Jesus Christ, criticizing your actions, the way we do things. And the nice thing about it, we can show them grace. We can also show them the truth at the same time. And do it in such a way that they might walk away scratching their heads and going, you know, they showed me what was right there. Meet trials with faith when we go through things. And I know many of us have faced a variety of trials. It's how we face them, how we come through them, and when we come out the other side, it's like Lynn talks about her little rock polisher that she has. Some of those stones take a while to get right, but I tell you what, the more they tumble in that, the smoother they're going to get, the edges get knocked off. Well, that's our Christian life. We're in God's rock tumbler, when you think about that. And we have the, type the answer here, so we have lots of those. So when we're thinking about that, you know, are there any other things besides type your answer there? that you know, causes us to endure with a good testimony, or to ensure a good testimony, you know, in our lives. There's a variety of things we probably look at. Yeah, walk your talk. That's probably the best one. You know, people are, and that's oftentimes what people are going to see in us. We can tell them about something, but it's like we're leaving tracks behind us. They're going to follow us and look for them and see, are we really living what we say? Because I know a lot of people that profess to be a Christian, but if you were to follow them, you wouldn't see it in their life. Well, you know I need, and it's sad. All you can do is pray for them, and just, you know, ask the Lord to, you know, maybe strengthen them, you know, strengthen me that I can see it and show grace toward that. So with that, anybody have their case study with them? I want to look at that. I think I've got it here. Yep, there it is. I found mine.
Is it at your service?
At your service, that's right. So follow along with me. Heather, I would like you to lead the Tuesday evening Bible study for the next 2 months. Martha said as she held out a Bible study book to Heather. Oh no, I couldn't do that, Heather replied, pushing the study book back away. Besides, many other ladies in the church are more eloquent and gifted in leading a Bible study. Well, what better way to be challenged? Well, I know you're not the most gifted communicator, Heather, but you are one of the best examples in the church of sacrificial living, Martha said, putting the study book into Heather's hands. You come to church early to make coffee. You quietly serve everyone during the Bible study. You stay late to straighten the chairs and wash the dishes. You also go out of your way to pick up Francine every week. I notice those small sacrifices. You've ministered to us all of your life. Now I would like you to minister us by your word. What a thing to be thrown into, but what a set of compliments. So how might those who are gifted but self-serving communicators react to Heather's leading the Bible study? Can you imagine the first time you might have led a Bible study? How it's like, I can't do this. But Charles?
I put down that they probably say, what is she going to do?
Yeah, right.
Look at her.
Yeah, look at her life. You know, that's the thing, is looking at somebody's life, that it's there for people to see. To like Martha said, she noticing these things, and would just love to listen to somebody self-serving. Well, oftentimes, like, no, I'm not gifted in that area. I'm sure the Apostle Paul was the same way when he was like, Lord, do you really want me to do this? And after a while, he said, you know, showed him where he needed to be. You know, it says Apollos was an eloquent speaker. So I imagine if you put them up on the same stage, everybody would probably want to listen to Apollos. But he also had to learn before he could really be able to present the truth. So, anybody else, you know, have a thought with Brother Brian? Yeah, what do you... Right, somebody that's maybe a little more self-centered or... Like, well, why can't I teach that? You know, oftentimes, yeah. Well, and there are some people out there that's their goal, is I want to be the center of attention. You know, and it's wonderful. The pastor here, you know, gives a lot of people a lot of opportunities. I know one thing we haven't done very often is testimonies. And some people just feel very, don't want to share their testimony, or they say, well, I'm not good at that. But you know, it's wonderful to hear a Christian's testimony. And that's kind of what this Martha was probably trying to do, to draw this person out, saying, you're very self-serving. We want to hear, we would like to see you lead this study because you do that. And so it's something very worthwhile. And who knows? She might surprise the rest of them. Any other thought with that? Well, how does Heather's life reflect the Apostle Paul's life? We kind of talked a little bit about that, but, you know, self-serving. And everybody here in this, we have an opportunity. You know, when we look at the front of the prayer list that Brother Brian puts together, there's those jobs in there. And for those that attend regularly, that's anybody that's here. Well, there's a place. And some people have been asked to be in those positions. Others, you know, it's been kind of like, you're pretty good at this. you want to take care of that for us? So, but her life was like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, even though he was bragging a bit, he really did it to show, listen, this is what my life's been about. What's your life been about? Because these people were bragging about themselves. Not that we're to go into churches and kick their doors open and say, all right, we got the truth, you don't. We're going to tell you about this. You know, what are your qualifications? And it's amazing. There's people out there with a lot of qualifications, but just haven't learned how to present them out. A couple of rhetorical questions to think about. This is what characteristics in your life, self-sacrifice or service? Or self-service, you know. You look up here, you know, self-serving or self-sacrificing. We get all the way down the bottom here, after they put all of them in, you know. How are we filling those spots? For what self-sacrificing task can you volunteer? You know, again, a very rhetorical question for people to think about. And as we present those ideas out of this case study, when we do see people that are doing that, it's nice to compliment them on that. Some people will kind of like, oh, well, you know, it's, they get embarrassed. But a thank you, it oftentimes goes a long ways toward that person to give them some encouragement. But 2 Timothy 2, verses 4 through 7 says, no man warreth, entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, yet except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. The Lord said, give these understandings. And so, yeah, again, a rhetorical question. How does your testimony compare? Some people might think that there's, well, you know, it's not as good as somebody else's. No, it's your testimony. It's your personal story. It may not be as flamboyant and exciting as some, but guess what? It got you out of hell when you asked the Lord to save you. How can you strengthen your faith in Christian service so you'll be able to echo Paul's testimony at the end of your life? You know, it's like people comment about the birth and the death date. It's that dash that's in the middle. What did you do in that dash? The people will remember you. Some people have a nice, you know, coined phrase that they put there. Others, you know, will put something or nothing at all, you know. What was it? Here lies less, more, no less, no more, you know. But that, you know, it's, you know, what is our life really, really about when we think about that? That are we leading a self-serving life, or is our life, you know, one where we're looking for that praise, where our life is just that I'm, you know, this is me and this is who I'm going to be and this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it, and you're going to listen to me regardless. The false teachers, as they were going through there, they demanded people listen to them. They demanded a price for it. The Apostle Paul came in there. He didn't demand anything of them. He just said, thus saith the Lord. Oh, and by the way, while I was coming here, this happened. And oftentimes, that gets somebody's attention more so and realize, hey, this guy went through a lot to make sure that we heard the gospel. You know, we think of the lives, the things that some of our missionaries go through. When we read their prayer letters or when we have an opportunity to have them here, we get to listen to what actually was happening with that. I think of the Kleins and where they were in Argentina and they were facing the bandits, people going through there, or the Rogers even. They were having problems with that. Local people that said, no, we don't want you here. Or, oh yeah, you're a church, you must have lots of money, so we want it. To where they're now able to present the gospel, there they had probably people's respect based on what they were teaching and how they were going forward. I think of missionaries that have gone into countries that are adamantly against the gospel, and yet they're able to reach. You think of the Elliots, Jim Elliot, when he was killed by those people, and then years later when his wife went down there and the men that were responsible for that came up and said, I thank you for sending your husband. Yes, we killed him, but we learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went through the testimony of that. And it was such an apology from somebody that had committed a crime to one of asking essentially for forgiveness. And as we go through life. So when we think on that, and we're going to finish up a little bit early, but that's okay. We can have some questions. But, you know, leading a self-sacrificing life. You know, the rhetorical questions that are there of what can we do in our lives to strengthen our testimony so that it's not a bragging thing, but it's one that honors the Lord. Are we honoring the Lord in what we're doing, or are we honoring ourselves? You know, the false teachers, they were honoring themselves. They thought that they had the best things going, but they didn't. So, you know, thinking on that, that we as the Apostle Paul was you know, laying out what all was happening to him, some of us have gone through some type of trial or that affected our walk with the Lord. Maybe it strengthened us. Maybe it knocked us off course for a bit, and we had to kind of clamber back around and say, "Lord, you know, I don't know what's going on. Please help me." And it's always been a challenge walking through this life. I look back on the 40-some years that my wife and I have been saved, and I'm thankful for the teachers that I've had along the way. Some that, you know, strengthened me in a lot of ways. Others that strengthened me, but yet made me question, you know, what were their motives. And it's sad when you look at somebody that's behind the pulpit and you see their teaching is one that might be questionable. And then you see them in a later life and you know that their teaching took them in a wrong direction. And you feel sad for that. But thankful that the Lord opened your eyes to things like that and testimony. You know, the Apostle Paul spent the time writing the letters. And, you know, like Brian was pointing out, I can just imagine some of the letters that he wrote, you know, with, they said, large in volume, which, well, he wrote most of the New Testament, or the fact that he had to write in such large letters because he might have had an eye problem. You know, I go back to, well, if I had as many rocks thrown at me then, I think I'd have an eye problem too, being left for dead under a pile of rubble. Going through all the things that he went through, being beaten, being thrown in prison, being shipwrecked, just on and on and on. That was a struggle. I can only imagine what our lives would be if we were in that type. So, you know, when we look on that and realize that the Apostle Paul should be an example to us. We may never have a life like the Apostle Paul. And in the United States, it's probably never going to happen that way, but yet we're going to have some sort of persecution. We're going to have some challenge in our lives. And it's so important that we can do as the Apostle Paul is that we're doing it for the Lord. We're doing it to make sure that the gospel goes forward. And that's our life on this earth while we're here, is to continue to present the gospel. And all the while, we're going to be challenged. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings that you show to us through your word. And Father, I do thank you that you are there always for us, that when we fall and stumble, you pick us up, dust us off, and you put us back on the right path. Father, I thank you that you give us that avenue, that if we've erred, that if we've sinned, that we can come to you and confess that sin and ask for forgiveness, and we're completely restored. Father, I thank you that we can trust your word. We can trust it 100%, and knowing that we have the truth in our hands through the King James Bible, we know that you preserved it for us so that we can share it with the rest of the world. And Father, we thank you for all of this and ask that you take us into the morning service, that we have a great time of fellowship. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.